Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, supporting police officers with style and intelligence. It's time for Blog Police Talk Radio on the fastest, I'm screwing this up, guys, but we'll get it sooner or later. The fastest growing radio show on Blog Talk Radio today, hosted by Ed Nowicki along with yours truly. We have a great show in store for you today, so sit back and enjoy the fun. We'll treat you to some fascinating and sometimes emotional conversations about our men and women in blue. And remember, our chat room is open, or you can call in and join the fun by calling 602-753-1853. That's 602-753-1853. Now here's Ed.
All right, Jimmy. That's my buddy Jimmy, and we, you know, a nickname I got from Junebug. And a lot of people just call me Big Ed. No, Ed Nowicki. Big Ed and Junebug are doing this. Both experienced law enforcement officers, and we are excited about having the show on the air. You will not hear a more police voice on the radio. It doesn't exist. You will hear us talk about many things. Jimmy, did you want something in your bell?
No, I didn't.
Did I want now?
Are you here?
All right, all right. We got a little bit of Jimmy's in one location. I'm doing this from my penthouse studio in Genoa City, Wisconsin, Genoa City, Wisconsin. And I'm doing it live from there with all state-of-the-art, everything that I need, usually a cup of tea and a pen and some paper. But we're I'm tickled here to be with you. We're going to talk about the war on cops in our nation. I'm getting a little feedback of my own voice coming back to me. I cannot do that with my own, listening to my own voice coming back to me, for my buddy Junebug is feeding it back to me. All right, we're gonna do this. Keep in mind, folks, this is our initial launch. This is show number one, and as we go on, you're gonna see things get smoother and smoother. But is there a war on cops? Yes, there is, and it's real. This all started. Tell you when it started. The initial sparks were from Ferguson, Missouri, Officer Darren Wilson, dealing with Michael Brown, a violent individual who just committed a forcible robbery of a convenience store, attacking the owner and then running off with it. This shows this individual's mindset. He approaches Darren Wilson, reaches in, tries this, taking the officer's gun from him. Keep in mind, when we talk on this show, any call that a police officer ever goes on, there's always one person with a gun. That's the officer. Always. Always. Death, taxes, and always count on an officer having a firearm, or else they wouldn't be answering the call. So Wilson shoots a justifiable shooting of Michael Brown, a false narrative, hands up, don't shoot, all absolute lie, never happened, no evidence supports that. In fact, evidence supports completely the opposite. But that's where the sparks came from. And during the protests that were going on, people may forget, an officer was shot doing crowd control, Shots came from a crowd. An officer was shot. If the bullet would have been about 1 inch over, we'd have had another police funeral to go to. But there is that's where it started. Now, it was like lighting the fuse on dynamite. Well, it started burning, and the first big explosion that came from that, when President Obama, he sends Pell-Ell Sharpton over. And thank goodness, I don't want to get political, but the Obama bin Biden dynasty will end tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have a pro-police voice in President Trump. We'll see. He promises to be. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I am optimistic. Anyway, in New York, the individual gets all, hears all this anti-police. Police are doing this. Black Lives Matter was formed from seed money from an organization that was funded by George Soros, who got the organization along with many others, gave money to Black Lives Matter. It was founded in St. Louis, Missouri. And there was so much at the time. It's not only with the president. Well, the president didn't say that much, did he? Yeah, one of the things is he didn't say much. And the people that he sends were anything but good people looking out for law enforcement or the men and women of this nation, the law-abiding citizens. He had an agenda. Just like he can't say radical Islamic terrorists. For some reason, he can't seem to back law enforcement. And what happens? Mayor Bill de Blasio, by the way, That's also known as. He was born as Warren Wilhelm Jr. That's what he was born, Bill de Blasio, Warren Wilhelm Jr. Born with that name on his birth certificate. And then he changed it. I don't know why he changed it when it sounded like a fashion designer. I don't know. You have to ask him on that. But anyway, we had then an individual gets all worked up, comes up to New York. Two officers are sitting there watching an area of public housing to make sure that crime didn't occur, Officers Lou and Ramos. They were assassinated while sitting in their patrol car trying to protect people. And that really was the first volley that was fired in the war on cops. And we all remember that. And then, just earlier this year, right before the 4th of July, we had officers there protecting people that were there to protest police shooting blacks. They were protecting them. What happens? 5 Dallas police officers are taken down by a sniper. And then, trust me, trying to never say the name of a criminal that does it. I will mention a police officer's name, but I will not mention criminal names. I will not do it. Anyway, I'm not going to give them thunder in death, or even if they're alive, I won't give it to them. And then we had that happen in Dallas, then the 3 officers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, plus ambushes are still happening. Earlier in Arizona, I think it was last week, guy was laying in wait. An officer responded. He was ambushed. Luckily, a legally armed citizen was there and took the suspect out, which, thank goodness, an illegal alien, by the way. That's a term you've heard used by our president-elect, soon to be the 45th president of the United States of America. But anyway, Black Lives Matter fuels the fires. They get everybody going. And they're saying, if you look back at officer killed statistics, I came on in 1968 as a cop. I was 20 years old. I was out of the police academy working in uniform, 20 years old. My dad had to buy my gun. They wouldn't sell me a gun because I was under 21, but yet I could be a police officer. Don't ask me. I was proud to be a Chicago police officer, but everybody hated our guts. I remember 1969. We had 10 Chicago police officers murdered. Check it out. It happened. We had over 100 wounded in Chicago alone. The officers killed were through the roof. So how is the violence escalating from those days to now? Well, we got a lot more people here now than we had in the late 60s and early 70s. And why are officers not being killed at the same rate? Number one, soft body armor. Soft body armor. Invented by a gentleman who I call my friend, Rich Davis. You wouldn't ask for a better individual, a great heart and a great mind, and he cares about cops. He was sitting there. He was delivering pizzas, believe it or not. Went up against three people in a gunfight. And problem is, he defeated two of them, but the third one got him. Shot him up. He's sitting there. It was when the astronauts landed on the moon. They're talking about how they wear this protective equipment, stops from like little meteor particles or whatever hitting them and causing harm. And he says, well, if I was shot like this, that stuff, they use it going to the moon. Why aren't cops doing something like this? So, you know, in America, this wonderful country, he took an idea and carried it through to fruition. He made it happen. Rich Davis was the inventor of soft body armor. This is the guy that launched it, and he probably saved more police officers than anyone else from that time on. Anyway, Black Lives Matter. They're out there now. They want to stop, you know, Black Lives Matter. What about the recent incident in Orlando, Florida? We had Master Sergeant Deborah Clayton murdered. She was black. Murdered by a subject who was black, who murdered his pregnant girlfriend who was black. And then while responding to the call, Orange County, Florida, Deputy First Class Norman Lewis was killed in a collision while responding to the call. Those lives matter. Well, anyway, I want to get back to not as many cops are dying, soft body armor. Secondly, we're killing them before they're killing us. We trained our officers to say, hey, you got to watch what's going on. We're taking them on. Better training. I was in a gunfight while I was still on probation. I'm running after a guy, shooting while I'm running. Nobody ever told me about cover and concealment. We were taught single action shooting with our revolvers on targets, on regular bullseye targets. Not anything to do with other than a bullseye. Now we're training people. It's gotten so much better. We're doing reduced light. We had, when I ran a police academy, I retired. I was a police academy director for the Milwaukee Suburban Police Departments. And we did reduced light. We had flashing lights going on. We had sounds of crowds, and officers had to take cover, concealment, shoot targets, three-dimensional targets. It's gotten so much more realistic. So our training has got so much better. We're having officers be aware. You know, I walked around with because I knew no better, like most of the cops when I first got into academy, with a good case of cranium rectumitis. That's the way I operated. I didn't know any better. Unless someone tells you, you don't know. Now, officers, we're using backup officers more. That's a big factor. We had, take on the lone gunfighter. Well, those days may have happened in the West, but not in modern society. How else? Why are officers used? Security holsters. During the late 60s, early 70s, 25 to 30% of the officers killed in the United States every year were killed with their own gun or another police officer's gun that they disarmed. That was crazy. We're training officers now in weapon retention training, and we have better holsters. Some of the security holsters are excellent. But, but mostly we try to not have officers be in that position. So right now, the number of officers killed with their gun or another officer's gun is under 10%. A whole lot better, but it's still not acceptable. It should be zero. That's our goal. Another thing a lot of people don't think of is emergency medical services. They're on the scene. They're so much better. I mean, we have paramedics. We have EMTs. They know what they're doing. They have state-of-the-art training, state-of-the-art equipment. They're keeping people alive. And when our officers that are shot go to the hospital, they're living. And, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, they die. The treatment in the hospitals of wound care and removing bullet fragments has gotten so much better in bullets, and they're keeping our officers alive. So that's why I see the number. I really have no way of knowing this. A lot of times a cop could be on the scene, and a guy, you see him who's going to maybe do something, but they'll sense that officer has command presence, and that officer knows what he or she is doing. Anyway, that's when I look at Black Lives Matter, they compounded it. Obama didn't say nothing. What he didn't say meant a lot. Eric Holder seemed to have a grudge against cops, although they would have indicted and charged Darren Wilson. Evidence proved otherwise, so the false narrative. And Al Sharpton goes over there. Al's in it for Al. You're talking about a convicted income tax cheat. This guy, I mean, he had an open door to the White House. I hope they have this guy where he's not allowed in anywhere. He aggravates a problem. He doesn't solve it. Anyway, if any of you have anything to call, you want to contribute, I know I get a little talking a little bit. People say, I say I'm old school. They say I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle. You old school people knew that. Newer people, the millennials out there, scratch your head, look it up. What's a phonograph? If you want to give us a call, we're at 602-753-1853. I will repeat that number. You're listening to Police Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 602-753-1853. Jimmy? Yes, June Bug. Whoa! Sounds like you shot the sheriff there, man.
I'm back, Ed.
All right, Jimmy. What are your thoughts, Junebug?
Well, what you're saying is absolutely true. And for quite some time now, we've seen a regular and almost ostentatious hate for the police being developed by political animals. That's the only way to call them, is political animals. If you look at this past election cycle, okay, yes, Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote. Thank God there was a provision built into our Constitution by our founders that allowed for the Electoral College. They foresaw the fact that a large population base could control the rest of the country if we allowed it. So they made sure that the Electoral College was what actually put a president in an office. If you look at where Hillary Clinton got all her votes from, you look at all the major population centers in the country, okay? Every one of the major population centers in the country just happens to have, and if somebody can correct me out there, if you know one that I don't know of, Democratic mayors who follow Democratic policies. Well, I got news for you. This ain't my daddy's Democratic Party anymore. I was a Democrat. I was raised Democrat.
Chicago, you know, my whole family were lever-pulling Democrats in Chicago.
And it ain't your father's Democratic Party anymore. Anytime the elements of far left or far right get a hold of political parties, they screw up the whole system. Now, the Democrats and the Republicans, I'm the first one to admit, I am no longer a Republican. I'm a conservative. I vote for my country.
I am a conservative libertarian.
I vote for what works and what doesn't work, okay? I have never seen a candidate in the history, in my lifetime anyway, that has so consistently and constantly supported law enforcement and the military as President Trump. President-elect Trump, he'll be president in about another 12 hours.
I agree, Junebug. He goes out there, he sticks his neck out, and he says, I'm for you guys. I'm going to do what's best, because he realizes if you support law and order and you support police officers, it's good for law-abiding citizens. It is bad for criminals.
Absolutely. And you know, what we have to look at, and before I lose my place, what we've seen here is we've seen a political change mounted by those in our society that are connected with communists, other leftists, and radical Islamic elements. They've all come together to know, guess what? They're trying to destroy this country. Well, the American people just spoke, and they spoke with voice as loud as anybody can hear. And I got to tell you, I was watching the pre-inaugural activities on Fox tonight before the show, and, you know, Toby Keith sang, and I like Toby Keith and his very pro-American songs. But then they switched, and President-elect Trump and his wife went up the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And with the Lincoln Memorial in the backdrop, I believe it was the Marine Corps choir sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And with those singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic and the fireworks going off, I thought to myself, and I almost had a tear coming to my eye, I said, America's back. And the thing that I think we accomplished in this tonight, we sent a message to the rest of the world, enough is enough. We are the greatest country in the world, and we're taking our God and our country back from you people that are trying to take it from us. And
you got that right. The area of political, you know, I understand. I have no problem with people that are transgenders, gays. I have no problem. I don't want things being forced down my throat. All right, we need to get back to a little bit. You know, I used to call it common sense, but the older I get, I realize that common sense isn't common. Like good judgment. We don't have people that use common sense. How could it be common if everybody's doing it? So it's not.
Well, the problem is you can't fix stupid.
but you could arrest it.
Well, the bottom line here, as far as law enforcement goes, anytime a politician wants to score points, especially on the left, it's easy to tear apart the cops. It's easy to pick on the cops because cops don't fight back. And that's the sad part about it. Cops don't fight back because they have a job to do, and being political is not part of that job.
Police officers are the redheaded stepchild of society. They are society's whipping boy. It's no, hey, you can attack, you can't attack anybody else, but you can always attack the cops. It is. And the rhetoric, all that constant rhetoric, it fuels a mindset of being anti-police.
Well, see, it goes above being anti-police. It's actually, as far as I'm concerned, it's a planned political effort to what's fast becoming known post-factual era of policing or post-factual policing, where the truth doesn't matter. It only matters if the emotions and the political agendas are met. Okay, so if a cop, if it's, and not to serve a pun or anything, but if a cop goes out and the bad guy shoots at him and the cop shoots back and kills him, it's a black and white case. But coulda, shoulda, woulda. Okay.
And this even started when I was a cop in Chicago. I was in the narcotics unit. We're hitting a search warrant. Guy pulls a sawed-off shotgun. We're hitting the warrant. I shoot him with my 12-gauge shotgun. What happens? I get my constitutional rights read to me, own rights card by an assistant state's attorney in Chicago, the Cook County State's attorney, because I couldn't have been more right. I couldn't have been more right. Yet Police should be accountable. But I'll tell you what, even the Supreme Court realizes it. Graham versus Connor, Supreme Court deciding on issue support, realize it. It's great. When you look at it, anybody with Graham versus Connor, there's a great legal resource available to you. It's called Find Law, findlaw.com. You don't need to pay anything. You go on there. You can do legal research. It's a great site. But look up Graham versus Connor. The police, the Supreme Court realized officers deal in situations that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving and should not be judged with 20/20 hindsight. They should be judged with what a reasonable officer would do on the scene at the time. The reasonable officer standard. So nothing coulda, shoulda, woulda, or they shoulda hit him in the knee. You get out there and you're in an armed confrontation or you support situation. You got that adrenaline flowing. You're controlling your firearms. That's why we tell them to hit center mass. They may get hit center mass, but if they're off a little bit, you're still going to hit the human body. You go for an appendage, like shoot their hand. You miss. You're accountable for that bullet. You can hit somebody else. You use deadly force. It's to stop someone. And the way I look at it, that's what you stop. He only had a knife. Well, if someone's attacking me with a knife, do you want them to stop or you want to slow them down? You want to slow them down, you hit them with pepper spray and you get stabbed. You want to stop them, you shoot them with your firearm. A firearm is meant to stop. Deadly force is meant to stop. The courts are wonderful with what they'll allow, but the big city politicians bend to groups like Black Lives Matter with the best mouth in the country as far as anti-police Al Sharpton and what he has to say. I don't think he's ever said a good word about cops. Or if he does, beware of it. Hold on to your pocket. Hold on to your wallet because he's trying to pick it. Anyway, I'm Ed the Wiki. I'm on the air here with you, Police Talk Radio, with our co-hosts. We're both co-hosts. Junebug Jimmy Smith is here with me. You want to give Junebug a call? Give me a call. Our number, 602-753-1853. I'll repeat it. That number, 602-753-1853. Jimmy, back to you. But I got a 10-point plan on really reducing Chicago's murder rate.
Okay, Ed, we're going to take a short pause for the cause here at the bottom of the hour. And I'm going to put some enjoyable music on that you may be interested in hearing, and we'll be right back.
As long as it isn't so I could ride an elevator.
Thank you.
And that was
back
the
there,
Billy Stompers. Yeah, that was the Billy
right.
Stompers. And we're back after a little break. The tune that I just played was the Billy Stompers in Washington Square. And, Ed, you got a city just south of you. I think you used to live there. Called the city of Chicago. And they got some problems down there that you have something you might want to throw them to maybe fix some of their problems. I think this is probably one of the things that is going on down there. So take it away, Ed.
All right, Junebug, I was a cop in Chicago for over 10 years. During the time that I was a cop, I was involved in 6 shootings. Things happen. You're in a high crime area, things happen. When you go into a tough area, you don't want Gandhi cops when it's tough. You know, peace, love, flowers, and kindness. That works nice with people that go along with you. People that don't go along with you, you want to kind of have the John Wayne approach. Within reason. I don't want to mean shoot them all, let God sort them out. That's not what I'm saying here. Chicago has a serious murder problem. That hurts me still. I was born and raised in Chicago. My buddies, all my buddies from Chicago are all retired now. I keep in contact with them. My ex-partner, Ernie. Ernie and I talk. We get starting to BS. We feel like we're still in the car working together, and we haven't worked together since 1978. A long time. But yet we're still good buds. Chicago does have this problem. Not that I have the magic answer, but I did some careful analysis. I did some research. I went on the internet. I tried doing my best, and I really believe that this is a really great plan. First of all, everybody says, oh, yeah, do it federal. Federal, yeah. Let me tell you, I dealt with the feds. The feds are all well and good, but you better have a slam dunk case or a U.S. attorney will not want to prosecute it. They want to, they want the smoking gun murder witnessed by 15 people, blood evidence, DNA, whatever. That they want, I'm telling you, it in federal court, it's not the answer. They got great state laws in the state of Illinois. If Chicago cops that I still keep in contact with, my retired buddies, they call him Rambo for Rahm Emanuel, Rambo, and they also call him Little Napoleon because he's like a banty rooster. He thinks he's bigger than what he is. That's what he is. He's like a banty rooster. That's their current mayor. Well, when I came on the job, we had Papa Doc. Papa Doc was the original Richard J. Daley, the guy from the Democratic Convention. I was there, Democratic Convention, 1968. Famous line. The police aren't here to create disorder. The police are here to preserve disorter. That was our mayor. And then I didn't work under Baby Doc, Richie Daley, his son. Anyway, I gave this a lot of thought. If Rambo didn't want to go around with this, they got a Republican mayor or a Republican governor in Illinois. Bruce Rauner is the Republican governor. All you need to do is go through the governor, their state's state law, go with the state police, and you could do some of these things that I'm telling about. But I'm assuming if you can get this in for Chicago, it's a way to go about it. Here's my 10-point plan on fixing, drastically reducing the murder rate in Chicago. And I'm telling you, this is a slam dunker. This will cut the murder rate at least in half. First of all, when the police stop anybody, they entered into some kind of agreement through the ACLU and the U.S. Department of Justice. They have to fill out a cumbersome form. It's like 2 pages for anybody they stop. Anybody they stop, they have to fill this out. And we all know how cops love paperwork. But if you stop and did that, you wouldn't stop many people because you'd be filling out forms all the time. That is ridiculous. I mean, if there's some kind of an incident, then do the form. But if an incident goes fine and dandy, get rid of it. Get rid of that form. That's first of all. Get rid of that cumbersome form. Dump it. First of all, once you dump that, officers should know the Supreme Court case is called Terry versus Ohio. They call it a Terry stop. in police circles, and I'm not an attorney, I'm not giving legal advice, but I'm telling this as a police practitioner, I've been declared numerous courts across the country as a use of force expert, and I testified in the federal trial involving convicted armed robber Rodney King on behalf of officers Lawrence Powell and Stacy Kuhn and Timothy Wynn and Theodore Brasino. Anyway, I testified in that case. What you could do under a Terry stop, they call it stop and frisk. It's stop and maybe frisk. What that is if you believe a crime is being committed, was just committed, or is about to be committed, you could stop someone. You don't need probable cause. I hear people say they need probable cause. Under a Terry stop, all you need is reasonable suspicion. That's it. Probable cause is like, 51%. Reasonable suspicion, to me, is like, 33%. That's about it for reason. That's reasonable. But that's what a Terry stop is. So make sure the cops in Chicago are trained in the Terry stop. Then we need to use computerized pin mapping software. We see spots by using this software that are hot spots for shootings, hot spots where it happened, hot spots for murders. They're color-coded. They're on a map. It's wonderful. You can even break it down into times, number of victims, number of assailants. The computerized pin mapping software on the market, there's a number of programs. It's absolutely wonderful. That's step number two, or that's number three, excuse me. So we've got stop that silly form, Terry versus Ohio, stop and frisk, computerized pin mapping software, and you can use criminal profiling. Well, if you're seeing that all the people that are shooting are black, well, chances are when you stop someone, they're going to be black. I used it in Chicago when I was a narcotics cop. I seen a carload of white kids, kind of scraggly looking kids in some beater car driving around in a dope area where they're selling dope and they're slowing down. Is race a factor there? You darn right it is. It's not the only factor, but it can be a factor. You say, racial profiling. No, you don't racially profile. You criminally profile. And if race is a factor, it's absolutely reasonable. People don't understand. Some of these people get out there and they're making statements. I hear attorneys talking about things. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Anyway, this is no holds barred here on Police Talk Radio. You got something to say? Say it. How can you say it? 602-753-1853 is our phone number. I'll give it to you again, that phone number here at Police Talk Radio, 602-753-1853. Number four, we have Rambo, stop interfering with police operations. Make sure you get a police superintendent that isn't a eunuch, that isn't a harem guard. And I don't mean, I qualified ladies out there just as well. I don't mean to insult anything. You know what I'm talking about. We had a saying, when he walks, he clanks. And you could figure that one out on your own. That's what we need. He needs to keep his auditor. We need a superintendent that is out there that can do the job. A friend of mine that I worked with superintendent, what a great job he did. The murder rate was nowhere near what it is now. Phil Klein. He got into it a little bit with Richie Daly. I won't get into it. I don't want to know all the particulars because I don't, and it could be. And I'm not sure that Phil would have told him to me anyway, and I wouldn't even ask him for it. But Phil ended up leaving. Phil Klein, one of the best superintendents Chicago ever had. And through political pressure, Phil Klein is gone. The citizens of the city of Chicago suffered. People died because of that. All right, what else will we do? We got four things now. Now, number five, surveillance cameras in strategic locations. We know where these are happens. You could hide surveillance cameras anywhere. Put them up on your street lights, put them up all kinds of places, and you were able to monitor public places with use of security cameras. It's well known. You can't monitor in someone, someone's home, but if it's a public place, you darn right you can monitor it. So we need those security cameras. They use them now. They're using that now for traffic revenue. They'll catch you blowing a red light. They'll send you a ticket with a picture of your license number blowing a red light or speeding. So you're not having cops doing any of this anymore. You're having computerized issuance of citations, and a computerized issuance of citations is strictly for revenue. I don't care what anybody says. It's for revenue. We want to use cameras in ultra-quiet drones. Yes, drones. They're not that expensive. People can do them. You use the camera, feed it back to a monitor. You can see where things are happening specifically. You can hone in on it. Nobody is any wiser when you use some of the ultra-quiet drones that are out there. We need to use the technology that is out there. It's available. It's easy easy to be used. It needs to be used. That's number six. Number seven. Number seven, saturation of shooting hotspots. Three officers in a car. Not two, not one, three officers. Two in the front, one in the back. These are people with guns. You want to have two of the officers. They could go in there. One cop covers the other cop. The third guy stands by and watches the entire situation and see it how it develops. An absolutely safe way of doing it. We work three-man cars in narcotics unit, and we'd hit hot spots. Three-man car is great. And I'm talking, you know, it works out great. You could use voluntary overtime. So we're going to hire all these cops. Well, it'd be nice if you had extra cops, but cops always want to make some extra money. They're always looking to work. Every cop I know has worked two, three jobs during their time in law enforcement, myself included. Junebug, my partner here on the radio, included. We all work multiple jobs. So what we want to do then is use three officers in a car. Now, the next thing we want to do is sound monitoring. I don't know if you know this. They have it in Milwaukee, a number of cities. They put these microphones, in essence, on various rooftops in areas especially that are prone to shootings. They could tell you, by the way the microphones are set up, just like you could hone in on a cell phone, they are able to determine that's my friend Junebug firing his machine gun. They could tell gunshots. They know that from a car backfire, from an M80 going off, from an aerial bomb. They know what a gunshot sounds like. So you put those in there. If the shoe's not easy in Milwaukee now. All right, what do we want to do next? Use of canines. Somebody says, yeah, well, if you're old enough, you remember seeing those old clips on the news of Sheriff Bull Connor in Georgia singing his German Shepherds to civil rights protesters. A Malinois and a German Shepherd, they're wonderful. They're great dogs. General canine, they're great. However, there are dogs with much better noses, like Labrador Retriever, Golden Retriever, maybe, you know, Bloodhounds. Again, I'm not a dog expert, but I think it's Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. That's where they train so many dogs that could go there, and they could smell the compounds of ammunition. They know the smell of ammunition. You bring, and a lab isn't a threatening dog. A lab is a nice dog. You get these labs out there and you pet them and they're nice, good dogs, but they got noses that'll give you away if you got something with ammunition in it. That is number nine. And number 10, the weapon, after you could do an initial weapon frisk, how handheld metal detector. It's not intrusive. Nobody could say, oh, the cop laid his hands all over me. Go over him with a handheld metal detector. If you start getting a hit on the metal detector, and you could tell by the way it's hitting, they call them wands, some of the things. So metal detector wands, handheld metal detectors. You could go over somebody, and if you got it, right from there, the handheld metal detector, well, you got a reasonable suspicion that there's a gun. You could do then a hands-on frisk. A frisk is different than a search. A search is a thorough going over of somebody. You could pry into their underwear, body cavities. That's a search. A frisk is a pat-down for weapons. That's the difference between a frisk and a search. So I'm talking not stop and frisk. It's stop and maybe frisk. You could stop the guy. He says, oh, I work here, sir. I'm just coming in the morning to open up. Oh, okay. So long, fella. oh, I'm coming here, I'm waiting for the place to open because I wanted my prescription refilled at the drugstore. And it seems like a legitimate reason. Sure, go along with it. So we do that 10-point plan. I'm telling you right now, these 10 points, you will cut Chicago's murder rate drastically. Why isn't this being done? That's the question. Why isn't this being done? Junebug, why do you think isn't being done?
Well, you know, crime fighting has traditionally been one of technology advanced technology. The more technology we get, but usually our technology is 10 years out of date. But, you know, crime fighters in the past have used technology, you know, like this one.
They've been trying to get tasers in Chicago for 8 years. They still don't have them, Jim.
Here's one though you'll remember.
That's my man Batman. That's my man Batman.
That's all Chicago needs is a few guys riding around in tights and fancy jet automobiles.
Let me tell you, people say, oh, yeah, the big cities, they're more, you know, and it's a word for the big city. Let me tell you, I love Chicago. I love the cops. I'm proud of where I was, but sometimes bigger isn't better. Sometimes bigger is more screwed up. Usually, generally, now this is a general statement. There are exceptions all the time. I find that the best trained people with the best equipment are in suburban areas around major cities. They have good training. They have up-to-date equipment. They have the stuff that a lot of big cities would like, but they don't get it for, I don't know why they don't get it, but urban, large suburban police departments seem to be the best trained and the best equipped.
Well, Ed, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you, and I think you're right. And by the way, I agree with all your 10 points, and I think that when the problem in Chicago right now is political. It's not a law enforcement problem. It's a political problem. You have
and people are dying for because you got little children dying, old people dying, handicapped people dying. People are dying needlessly because of silly politics.
That's what happens when you give the keys to the city to the gangbangers. You know, and that's essentially what the Rum Dead Fish Emanuel has done. Basically, if he'd let the cops do their job, some of this stuff would not be happening. You know, and I'm amazed. You know, you work partially on the Heller decision, and you know, the most strictly controlled gun control city in the world is the city of Chicago. But there's a strange irony in the fact that honest citizens can't have guns. But every gangbanger in the world is carrying two and three of them.
Because gangbangers criminals don't care about laws because that's why they're criminals. Who don't follow the law? Letter, honest people, law-abiding citizens. But why are you taking protection away from law-abiding citizens? You know, in fact, I know numerous cases. Cops have been saved by people that have been. That have carried a firearm, law-abiding citizen with a firearm, November 14th in Florida, where a deputy sheriff, and one just last week, I think it was in Arizona, where an officer, I think maybe an Arizona Highway Patrol officer, by a person, an honest law-abiding citizen with a gun that stopped the attack by an illegal immigrant, by the way. Let's have some sanctuary cities. That's what we're a sanctuary country. That's what we are.
Well, here's the bottom line. If one honest citizen was allowed to carry a firearm in the nightclub in Orlando last year, the worst terrorist attack on American soil outside of 9/11 might not have ever happened. You know,
you're right. Or in that Christmas party that happened in California.
Exactly.
If one of those people, some of the states and the cities that had the strictest gun control laws. You know what cracks me up? Gun-free zone. You get a gun-free zone. You put around the school. It's gun-free, drug-free zone, gun-free zone. That sounds all well and good. How about is that? Some of our teachers are professionally trained. Some of our staff, don't even use the word teacher, professionally trained to guard the lives of the children with, through their training in firearms. Something like that may give some wacko second thought about going into a school and shooting up a school and hurting the kids. Best thing you could do, gun-free zone. All right, that works out real good. But you have a public place. I'm sure that place in Orlando was a gun zone. And
yes, it,
you know, maybe the best laid plans of mice and men are soon to fall asunder. I'm sure the intention was honorable when they come up with these gun-free zones, but what they don't understand is reality. And I always believe in this, Doombug, you know what I'm talking about, the what-if factor.
Well, yeah, let me tell you a quick story about Florida, okay? Florida was one of the first states to give concealed carry to citizens down there. And there are places in Florida that I've been to. One in particular, this happened to me just within the past 18 months. I was shopping in a place, I won't name the place or the town or anything, but I was shopping in a place and it said, no firearms allowed on a sign. And I started to walk in and I was carrying a firearm and I said, well, I said, I'd like to tell you, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you want my business? Oh, yeah, we did, blah, 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 you know. I said, well, I'm an off-duty police officer, and I'm carrying a firearm. So you don't want my business? Oh, we just don't want all the other people coming in with guns. I said, let me ask you a question. Are you prepared for somebody armed to come in here to cause a problem and start shooting up your place and not allow other people to be able to protect you and your place?
That's a welcome sign for stick-up people.
Well, that's exactly what I told him. I said, all you're doing is telling the bad guys that, yeah, I'm an easy target. Come on in, take me. There's nobody else in this place has a gun, including me. You know,
I understand. I think they actually have an honorable intention. Know what the problem is? Attorneys. That's the problem. Attorneys. They're always looking about liability. Let me tell you,
if you get a small town in America,
the way things are today, one attorney can't make a living. Two attorneys can make a great living. On every case, people don't understand, there's at least one, the best record. Anything is 50% for the law profession. 50%. So it was a winner and there's a loser. How would you like to have an arrest conviction ratio of 50%? Only half the people they arrest are convicted. That you'd be up in arms.
Well, 90%. Let's put it in terms that people can really understand. Let's move away from firearms and go to Obamacare. Did Obamacare address the biggest problem in medicine today, and that's tort liability? Was there any tort reform in that bill? Of course not, because the Trial Lawyers Association runs Congress. I don't know how many are in Congress right now, but I'd be willing to bet that three-quarters of the members of Congress are members of the bar. So, you know.
What value do we place on justice? You know what value we place on justice, Junebug? The attorney's fee. That's the value of justice. We're looking at civil litigation. The value that is placed on justice are the attorneys. And again, I have friends of mine that are attorneys, and I love them dearly, and they're my friends. But you know what? I'd love to drive them into another profession.
I think Shakespeare said it best in something about the we want a great society, all you got to do is get rid of all the attorneys.
Yes, yeah, and you know, there may be something to that.
I'm not a Shakespearean scholar, so I know that the thought of what he wrote is in there somewhere.
My wife and I, Just as an aside, small business we had, we sold some police equipment and videotapes and books and whatever years ago. One manufacturer wanted to get at this other manufacturer in another state. So what do they do? The business was in my wife's name. We get notified of a lawsuit. We're brought into something. I'll tell you, this is how the lawsuit went away. And it could, well, it went away better than this because the manufacturer came and stepped in. If the manufacturer wouldn't have stepped in, my wife would have had to swear under oath that these things were true and not true. They were lies. She would have had to swear under oath to lies. We'd have been bankrupt, and I'd have been in a free cheese line in Wisconsin. That's what would have happened. They will drive. I couldn't fight this manufacturer. I had no money like them. What the hell do you do?
Hey, Ed, this program, we support cops, right?
Yep.
Okay.
100%.
But then let me explain it to you this way, ladies and gentlemen, and my brothers and sisters out there. Don't buy anything that says ASP on it.
Yep. I understand. Trust me, that was the company that was suing us.
Oh, really?
And I look at it now. You could be 100% right. All you got to do is somebody with big bucks to initiate legislation, you're sunk. That's why, rich people don't go to jail. Really, in this nation, we're a nation of laws. Yeah, we're a nation of attorneys that know how to manipulate the laws. About the people that get the best justice are the people that are the best financially. You're the best financially, you get best justice. You are little financial, you get little justice. That's the way it works. And I don't know what the answers are. Problems are. One of the answers may be issues. And putting caps and limitations on some of these ridiculous judgments that are, you know, even when they bring a class action lawsuit, lawsuit is nothing but a cash cow for attorneys. People that sign on to it get very little. Attorneys get all the money.
Well, Ed, we're coming to the top of the hour here, and we've talked about a lot of things, but I think we just segue into my next little tune here so we can take a little break. So let me go, and we'll see you folks back here after the top of the hour.
I just want to tell people, too, hey, listen, while this is playing, check us out. We are Police Talk Radio, Facebook, Police Talk Radio, and go to where we have 270,000 pro-police fans, police supporter on Facebook. Police supporter on Facebook. If you're a cop, You belong there. If you're not pro-cop and you're on this, you're listening to this, we want to flush you down with the toilet scum that you are. All right. On with the music, James the Man.
All right. And when we come back, we'll be taking your calls at 602-753-1853. That's 602-753-1853. The chat room is open.
I'm
back. This show, Ed's going, like I anticipated it was going, it's just flying by. We've already done the first hour. We're in our final 30-minute segment. So what else you got to talk about tonight, Ed?
Oh, time flies when you're having fun there, Junebug. No, I just don't want people to understand when they get selective reporting of all these groups. In fact, Black Lives Matter, I was a cop in Chicago. I came on, they put me in an all-black district. I'm a white cop. Worked in Chicago, was around black people, but not to the same degree. Problem with me, I had no prejudice one way or the other. What people don't understand, there's so many black people in the area. They're afraid of the rabble-rousers. They're afraid of the political... The political animals that are there, the power brokers, they're scared of them. They're scared of them, and they loved great police protection. I mean, they loved it. And you know, when I was a cop, you know, you got to use a little sound judgment. I mean, a lot of, and most cops are like this in Chicago. I'm driving through an alley one day, because a lot of crap goes on in alleys. You got to watch it, though, because you get flat tires with all the broken glass, and you got to get out and change your – Chicago, we didn't call tow trucks. We had to change our own tires. So, but we drove through the alley, and there's this old-timer walking there. And I see him. I said, hey, old-timer. I said, hey, sir, how you doing today? He says, fine, officer. And I said, everything okay? Oh, yeah. How come you walking through the alley here? He told me, because all them jitterbugs out there, they want to give me some crap, man. They want to give me some crap. And I said, well, you know, we ain't going to do that. I said, listen, you got a pistol on you? He goes, sure do. And I go, where's that? In my pocket. And know what I said to him then, Jimmy? Have a nice day, sir. Take it easy. That's what I said to him. This guy was out there because he was scared, because he was being victimized. I felt sorry for the man. I honestly did. I felt sorry for the man. And those, you know, you could look, when enforcing laws, and I look at the officers, and I used to get them in police recruit school. There's the spirit of the law, and there's the letter of the law. For example, I'll just throw this at you. In Wisconsin, it was a felony to have pepper spray. A felony. In the same section where machine guns were listed. In Wisconsin, pepper spray was legal. So I stopped this lady. She's got a carload of kids. She's got Illinois plates, but in this community that we lived in, anyway, I stopped her, and I looked from her keychain. She's got pepper spray hanging. Now, that's a felony arrest. What did I do? I said, ma'am, have it in Wisconsin. So if you come to Wisconsin, take it off. You can't have it here because you get in trouble. I said, okay. So I let a felon go.
You know, I understand we're talking about discretion, and discretion is the better part of valor sometimes. But, you know, you've talked a lot about, and I want to go back into this because I want to talk a little bit more about it. You've been talking a lot about Black Lives Matter. What is Black Lives Matter? What a scam.
And I know you did some research on it, Junebug.
What is Black Lives Matter? Is it a 501c3?
Pardon? Go ahead.
Is it a 501c3? Is it a structured organization?
They do have an organization in St. Louis. They say it's also a movement. It's two things. It's a movement and an organization.
It's a communist front. Period. End of sentence. The founders that have pushed the hashtag, it's a hashtag the cops are afraid of. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. It's for every leftist and communist-supported organization in this country to use the police as a way to get their political agendas accomplished. It's got nothing to do with civil rights, black rights, or anybody else's rights. It is a political ideology that they're trying to push on people and using weaponized racism in the form of Black Lives Matter to scare the hell out of everybody else.
And it scares the hell out of most cops because they get in a heap of trouble when they see that group coming along. I'll tell you what it is now. Honest, law-abiding citizens type of, they're not having proactive law enforcement. What's proactive law enforcement? That means officers going out there and aggressively looking to see if they can stop crime before it happens. Using stop and or frisk methods, areas that are high crime areas, that's what you're doing. Know what cops are doing? Because you get your hitch, you get a call, you get a job. They call it. You get your call, you get a job. You answer your call. That's it. You write a ticket, maybe, because they want a ticket at every shift. So you write a ticket, you answer your calls. And I was a young cop in Chicago, and I'm working with an old timer. Looking at him, and I'm looking. This guy doesn't want to do diddly. I'm saying, I want to do everything. He says, listen, kid. He said, we get the same pay on the 1st to 16th, whether I make one arrest, or no arrest. The more arrests you make, the more chance you have of getting it into with somebody, getting in trouble, maybe even blowing a court date, getting suspended for blowing a court date because you made so many arrests. Do my job. I just coast along. And unfortunately, honest people of this nation, they could suffer because of that. Our cops want to go out there and do a good job. Our cops want to do the best they could do, but cops are more frightened of Black Lives Matter than they are of facing face with somebody with a gun in their hand. Doing both. They're not even facing people with a gun in their hand anymore, Junebug. What they're doing now, they're getting sniped at. They're getting ambushed. It's not even you're facing them anymore. And it's like open season on cops, and there's no bag limit. Anybody can shoot as many as they want. No bag limit.
Ed, it's the perfect storm for the leftists. They get the show on the road,
and I don't want to talk about it too much, but you coined the term which I think is so appropriate, media brutality, on how the media, and just because I know people, I had an uncle, I saw it on television. That means like I read it in the Bible. Him. Let me tell you, they could put anything and everything on television. You know that? It could be on news talk television, people making commentary. What you have now, journalists would report facts and incidents as stated. They're having now, they don't have journalists, they have commentators. They're making slanted comments based on either political correctness or left-leaning progressive liberalism. That's what
they're not even commentators. They're editorialists. I mean, all they do is editorialize and tell everybody else how to live their lives. This is like Al Gore telling everybody that, you got to save all this because the Earth's going to fall apart and it's global warming. And he's flying around the world in his Lear jet, sucking up more carbon credits than you can shake a stick at.
Or the term used by the one CNN guy, I think it was yesterday, the day before, mediocre Negro. That really is insulting. I think he used that for Sheriff David Clark, mediocre Negro. David Clark, let me tell you, stand-up guy. There's a guy when he walks, he clanks.
I wouldn't want to say that to his face. I think he'd show him how mediocre he was.
Well, I'm just there. You guys, you listeners out there, you understand. You're hearing this from Uncle Ed, and we're in Junebug's here, and you're hearing this from me, a mediocre Caucasian. Whatever the hell that is. They're using that term. That guy's using the term. It must be good.
Well, if it came from CNN, it can't be a lie.
Yeah, right. And even they had shows that kind of were out there, and they were not really horrible. My wife watched them. I couldn't get into them. She had this one, Jane. I think it was. I'm not sure what her name was. They took her off the air. Nancy Grace, and then Nancy Grace went off the air. They had Dr. Drew, and Dr. Drew's off the air. Dr. Drew and Nancy Grace, they had a left lean a lot of times, but a lot of times not. And they're off HLN, which is the younger sister of CNN. And they're off the air. And, you know, and
They're both Jane Fonda's sisters, so the Communist News Network means nothing to me. So.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they are. You're listening to what we're saying. I'm not going to lie to you, but I want you to understand. Don't, because I'm saying it or Jimmy's saying it, we're not the answer to all problems. Our perspective, usually base our perspective on a certain knowledge base, and we offer that to you for your consideration. If you want to accept it, fine. If you don't, fine. What we tell you is based on fact. It is based on reality. This is based. And what you're hearing here, we're not journalists. We're commentators. We're editorializing. That's what we're doing. We're giving you our slant on it. We're obvious about it.
We're not afraid to say it.
We're pro-police. We are pro-police. We love cops. Cops are some of the greatest people we know. They should be some of the greatest people you know. We are pro-police. And if we get an anti-police person on here, you know what? Say, well, don't you believe freedom of expression? Yeah, the Constitution. Goes to town hall. We control these radio waves. We're like the outer limits of the radio. We control the editorial. We control the horizontal, and we control the vertical. Except that we control the volume. That's what we do here, Police Talk Radio. We are slanted. We love cops. We're pro police. We're pro law and order. We're pro law abiding citizen. We hate criminals. We hate people that hate cops. That's pretty simple. Come down to it, Junebug.
Well, I think we're pro-American. And the bottom line is, I hate hyphenated Americans. You're of Polish descent, so you're an American of Polish descent. I'm an American of Irish and German and Polish and Swedish descent. Okay.
Hey, I got 6% English in me that I found out. So somewhere we had a rascal in there somewhere.
But we are pro American, Ed. We're pro.
That's it. You know what? It'd say, well, you got to. You know what? What's that? Charlize Theron. You know, she's an African American. She's from South Africa and she's white. I guess that makes her an African American.
Yeah.
And just when you see a black. Fairly African American. You could have some of the big used to be, and they still are to some degree involved in drug trade, are Jamaicans. Jamaicans aren't African Americans, they're black. But they're not African Americans in no stretch of that term. What I'm talking about, Jimmy.
Well, if you go way, I don't know whether Jamaicans that have the skin color as dark as Africans. I don't know whether they came from Africa or that's evolution. I'm not a scientist.
Jimmy, we were heading in the direction. We were saying Americans I remember 9/11 clearly. It's one of those moments. We remember things when it comes to things because of rehearsal. We're going over and over and over in our mind like we're studying for an exam. Emotional impact. Virtually anyone that was remembers 9/11, that's probably teenager or older, tell you exactly what they were doing. 9/11 happened, and I'm of the age. I remember exactly what I was doing, where I was, when Kennedy was assassinated. Are these moments that happen? But for following 9/11, when getting back to that, following 9/11, we were all civil to one another. We were all nice. We would hold doors for each other. We would say thank you. We would say please, which was wonderful. Well, as Americans, we're full as hell. That lasted, I think, about a month, and then it was back to let the door slam, and I won't hold it, and who cares, and whatever. And that civility that we had, that brought us 9/11 brought Americans together. So that was, you know, on any, if something tragic happens, you try to learn from it, and you try and see, is there some good that could come from it? You got to look, is there some good possibly that could come from it? Well, you know, I would rather have not, good not come that way in other ways, but that was, an unintended consequence, but to be a positive consequence.
Well, you know, Ed, we can't talk about the safety and the security and really the basic foundations of America if we can't talk about the Constitution. And as police officers, as police officers, you and I both know that there are things that we could do that are very unconstitutional. You taught me, and you taught a lot of other folks, that, you know, use of force can never be proactive. It's always going to be reactive for us because we fall under those constitutional guidelines. We have to protect
the
criminal.
But people don't understand, Jim, you could react to body language. If I see a guy, he's looking at me, he lowers his head. There's a book written by Roland Olek called Management of Aggressive Behavior. Another one, I forgot who wrote it, called Ape. There's another one, really old. I'm talking like 50 years old, but it's great. Written by a gentleman named Julius Fast. Body language. If we see certain behaviors, we call it a shift. A guy lowers his body, widens his stance, draws his arm back. No, this guy's going to hit me. I'm reacting to that behavior, so we call that back first. Because you are, you're hitting them back first. You don't need to be punched in order to use force, but you should be able to articulate that in a written form, which is a police report.
But again, that's defensive. That's not offensive. That's defensive.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to say. Is that
you're right. It's all reactive. Defensive reactive.
We have folks that care less about the Constitution and do whatever they want. You know, I term these two coins, coined these two terms the past few years in my research and stuff. We have two types of tactics in this country. We have reality-based tactics, which are the tactics of the criminals and the terrorists or whatever you want to call them, use against us because no rules are out there. And we have liability-based tactics, constitutional liabilities and civil liabilities that police officers and law enforcement officers in general operate under, okay? We have to do and stay within that framework of those liability-based tactics because above all else, we have to protect and defend the Constitution. And that means protecting and defending people we hate, and people got to understand that. I can have a personal opinion about, you know, Black Lives Matter, but from a constitutional standpoint, I'm bound by my oath as a law enforcement officer to support and defend the Constitution, and that means their constitutional rights, even though I don't like them. And that's what most police officers understand, but the general public just doesn't get it because the media. And when I termed that term several years ago on your old radio program, media brutality, I went on to write about it and then talked about it and it basically formed it into two different types of media. You got the entertainment media and you have the news media. The news media we don't have to talk about. Let's talk about the news media or the entertainment media. What gives these people the right simply because they make movies to tell the rest of us that we're wrong?
You know, I'll tell you what.
People out, are these people out here on the street with us, with the drug dealers and with the crime and with people getting killed, or that they can throw shots at it? You can't have guns, but my body bar needs a gun because they got to protect
me. We're going to have a show on this in the future, and
I
just want people to talk about another term also. We're going to say Citizens Police Academy. If your agency where you live offers it, unbelievable. You will see and you will feel what a cop feels like like going through a moderate training program. To me, it's like a, you know, 10 Wednesdays for 3 hours a Wednesday, and or morning for 4 hours or wherever. It's anywhere from 30 to 40 hours. It's called Citizens Police Academy. Just plug it into a search, do a Google on it. I never talked to any that went through the program that hates it. In fact, cops were leery of it. I talked to a bunch of cops. Hey, what is this stuff we're getting in? Cops, you know, cops, it's by the nature, they're gonna complain. That's what cops do. And I do it myself. I try not to much anymore, but I still do it. Anyway, they were real leery about it. They didn't like it. They're, you know, they are some of the biggest proponents of it going now. So if anybody listening, you're out there, you get this, the term Citizen Police Academy and Google it. And if you get an opportunity to go through it, you will see what officers face through simulated training, and you will not believe what officers face. And Jimmy, I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I can't say enough kind words.
As a matter of fact, if you want to know more about Citizens Police Academy, talk radio style, join us for our March 1st, 2017 show. That's Thursday, March 17th, or March 1st, 2017. And that's our topic for tonight. So we'll be talking more about police academies or Citizens Police Academies in the future.
But Jimmy and I have so many things planned for you guys. This is our first one. We had a little bumps in the road, but, you know, that's what happens. You do something, a new venture, whatever. We practice, but little bumps in the road. Nothing major, nothing I consider a huge problem. Hopefully, you know, when you're listening to this program, you're going to get something out of it. We don't want to waste your time. Time is precious. We all have a finite number of hours on the face of this earth, and we don't want to take any of that time away from you or what you love doing or what you like doing or being with your families and loved ones. So important for us. What we want, what we're doing here, we want it to be meaningful. Am I not right, Junebug?
Absolutely. And you know, while I'm talking about shows, let me just make a quick announcement here. Next week, and that'll be our next show, will be on February 2nd, 2017, and it'll be about your local police, how you can help them keep you safe. So we'll be focusing on that. On our February 15th, 2017 show, we're going to talk about the three T's of policing: tactics, training, and terrorism. And hopefully we'll have a few guests for that. And we'll have a few guests coming in from now on, time to time. We're just getting going with the show, and we still have to reach out to people and schedule some guests. But I'm sure that if you hang in there with us, you're going to find that
you'll see. We got a show in store. Police use of force, to have you understand what police use of force is all about. We wet your whistle a little bit here today. We're going to go through police use of force. You'll understand deadly force. Term I hate is less lethal. Is it less lethal? It's, you know, lethal is an absolute. Nobody's either dead or you're not. It's less deadly. Well, if it's less lethal, it's lethal. These terms are used by manufacturers, selling ploys by their sales, but I have a problem with some of them. If it's less than lethal, it's either non-lethal or lethal. Plain and simple, like pregnancy. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. Absolutely.
Hey,
we have, but we're going to go with use of force much more thoroughly. We're going to have another show on the concealed carry for citizens. Some of the things to think about when you're doing it. Some of the things on what you can do out by a police officer, how you could come to the aid of a police officer, and what you're doing. It's all almost anything we're talking about. What we're talking to you and what you should learn out of this is communication. You should understand on what to see. Communicating. You see, you smell, you hear. Communicating and sending and receiving those things. You know, we've got so many exciting things. Jimmy and I are just jumping at the bit. We had this Black Lives Matter now because they're, you know what? There's one of the biggest frauds put out there. That organization, they pay people to go to protests. They pay people. In fact, I don't know if it's true. It's unverified. There's a lot of false news, but there's been rumors that people are being paid to go to the inauguration of our 45th president, Donald Trump, and to be problems there. By the way, the both police and I certainly hope so. I am so looking forward to it. And a president that we've had presidents that don't really mind us, that don't care one way or the other, or they're actually against us. But this guy, Donald Trump, boy, there's something. He hits me. Have I been wrong before? Yeah. Don't read him as wrong. I see this guy as the real deal, caring about law-abiding citizens, caring about our police officers who aren't there. They're protecting law-abiding citizens. He's the real deal, Jimmy.
Yes, he is. And I'm just playing hail to the chief here a little bit, so we can understand and we can all accept our next president, Donald Trump, who will be sworn in tomorrow at 12 noon and officially take the reins. You know,
which is kind of neat.
On
our Facebook page, Police Supporter, and it airs at 11 Central, which is 12 noon Eastern, when the president's sworn in. We got a special God Bless America, and a lot of people that are baby boomers, they'll see a lot of stars and entertainers when they were a kid. They're all at different times singing God Bless America. I saw this video. The older I get, I guess I'm like a Tootsie Roll Pop. I'm hard on the outside, but I got that soft center. I listen to these things. I get tears in my eyes. I get goosebumps. At one time, I used to laugh at somebody who got tears in their eyes and goosebumps. But, you know, you get a little older, you get a little wiser, and you appreciate what life is about and what things are important. So my take on it. I'm not a philosopher on life. I'm just giving you as a practitioner of life. Aren't you, Nick?
Yeah, you're right, Ed. And I just want to throw out that you know, we haven't had a caller yet, but we're still getting our feet wet, and we're still advertising and letting people know we're coming back. But I just wanted to throw a plug in to the fact that when we close the show today, if you missed it, you can always find us on the podcast. You can find us on the Blog Talk Radio. Just type in Police Talk Radio, and you'll find it. Some of you have already been sent show notices and stuff like that, but we're going to be closing here shortly. We got about 90 seconds left, Ed, so I'm going to let you take it away. I want to just wish everybody a great day tomorrow and stay safe.
All right. During the inauguration, it's a new beginning, and, you know, if Trump wasn't the guy you wanted, the way I look at it. I don't remember, presidency, no matter who won one way or the other. Life didn't change all that much one way or the other. But I have a pro-police agenda, which I'm for. But as you're listening to this show, as we go on, in fact, we plan on doing, our plans are to do this show without callers. But if the callers want to call, we want to get somebody calling in with intelligent questions. And I know people are scared to call. They're frightened. And it's part of getting the word out on this. I want to tell you, America, it's a pleasure to be here with you. We want to be here with you. We care for you. We're concerned about you, a law-abiding citizen. Take care. We want you to go blue, support your police. Most of all, people, I leave you with these two words. Stay safe.
Ten seconds.